Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell here, will be for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is in L.A. doing a lot of TV and stuff. I saw you on your little show with Bucky Brooks.
It was me and Bucky and Rhett Lewis.
Yeah.
And then we'll do it today and then tomorrow again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how much more is there really to talk about, though, honestly?
I will say this. I'm actually happy that we have, John, you and I see a lot of the topics that show up on ESPN, for example, on their morning show.
Yeah. And you mean J.J. McCarthy.
We didn't talk about J.J. McCarthy. We didn't talk about Justin Fields, where he would be traded, if he could be a Hall of Famer. We didn't talk about that today or yesterday. We talked about whether or not, we talked about Raiders stuff, about what they should do at 13, if they should move up or sit still.
Okay, let's stop right there.
Okay.
Is there any chance, because there's so much talk about Jaden, Antonio Pierce, they were together at Arizona State, mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels wants to go there, Jaden Daniels might be pushing a little bit back with the Washington Commanders. Is there any chance the Raiders could come up and get Jaden Daniels?
I mean, let me ask you this. So you're Washington. Ready? I'm just going to ask you one simple question. Are you interested in moving back to number 13?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Case closed. I don't see a scenario where they would have any interest in moving back. You know how many good players you miss out on? If you move all the way back there.
Well, suppose I don't love him. Suppose I'm a Drake May guy or even a J.J. McCarthy guy at 2.
Right.
Okay. So now New England is sitting there.
Right.
Is there any chance that Elliott, he wouldn't mind, you don't know with Elliott how much he likes to trade, and you know, he's got a lot of work to do over there.
Right.
Would you take the quarterback or would you take a bunch of picks?
Well, here's the thing. Minnesota can offer you a bunch of picks.
Right.
And they draft even earlier than the Raiders at 11. So you'd have to be willing to go to 11, which is hard enough from 3. But at least you'd also get you'd get number 27 that the Texans picked at Minnesota grabbed. So you get 2 first rounders. Washington would have, the Raiders would have to give you their 13th and then their future first, which, you know, is going to be better than a 27th, obviously, but you don't know how much better. I mean, it could be a pretty good pick. So yeah, I mean, I guess New England could consider it, absolutely, but New England already is getting, according to Adam Schefter, and this is really makes a lot of sense anyway. It's what we expected. The Giants and Minnesota are both trying to move up to number 3. Well, those are both earlier picks on Raiders. I don't see a scenario where the Raiders – do you know – I didn't tell you this yesterday either. I forgot about adding this one. Do you know that Jaden Daniels' mom is also demanding that the – she was demanding earlier that Washington sign Brandon Ayuk during free agency and give him – you know, a certain amount of money per year because her son and Brandon Ayuk are best friends. So she was also making certain demands about free agency, too. I mean, what a pain this is potentially going to be.
Well, didn't we hear this? What other athlete did we hear the mom was way too involved in? Oh, well, Jackson's mom.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lamar Jackson's mom is involved in.
She's his agent.
So that's different to me.
Yeah.
That's a little different to me. And Lamar's already on a team. So, I mean, that's agents do that stuff all the time. I can't, you know, just because it's his mom. Eli Apple's mom was, you know, kind of extra. But that's, you know, she's not until after he was on the team, too. So, no, I've never seen anything like this where beforehand parents are, I guess, other than Archie Manning. Archie Manning was that guy, frankly. And Archie wasn't telling you who to trade for and all that stuff, but I mean,
Eli,
Archie bullied his son out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he did that crap.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you don't want moms involved, like LeBron's mom was involved. We don't want that. We don't need that stuff going on.
Well, LeBron's has always been his own guy.
Yeah.
You have no doubt that LeBron runs the show there and tells mom, be quiet. He's done it before. We've seen him on the sideline, be quiet, tell her, be quiet.
No. Well,
remember when Jaden Daniels' mom...
LeBron's mom was involved differently. That's what...
I knew there was something up when Jaden Daniels' mom was on. Everyone was like, ooh, look at Jaden Daniels' mom. But also how she had that ice-cold look and stare at... remember when her husband was there, or her ex-husband was there, Jaden's dad? And do you remember that on the Heisman? It seemed like she had no interest for him. And I remember I wanted to go to Twitter because I knew people would have something to say. And first thing I found was Arizona State fans who were extremely non-complimentary. I didn't realize that there was, you know, that she already had a history with Arizona State. So that's when I realized, she's involved in things. And parents who are involved, whether it's overly involved, whether it's Little League or pro football, are always the biggest pains in the ass.
Yep. No, you don't need parents. In the NFL, we don't need – hey, listen, I found out in college ball, you're out now. Okay? This ain't high school. This isn't Little League. You're out now.
Was it a problem, do you think, at Rice? Did Rice have an issue with Granato going on the sidelines during spring games and screaming at David Bailiff at Rice?
No. We did not.
Did Wendy ever run out there and say, "But my son,"
did. She did. She was screaming at one.
She was screaming at David Bailiff. She
not Bailiff.
But she's an LSU. I mean, but she's from South Louisiana.
Yeah, she's an LSU fan. They just do. They do stuff. They get too emotional. Yeah. Right. So anyway, is there any other news that – I mean, I saw you had Braden Fisk as a guy that was going to be drafted higher than Daniel. Oh, you called out Daniel Jeremiah. I thought, well, maybe you two are going to go to blows or something here, because you called him right out, said Jeremiah is stupid.
DJ's wrong on this one.
Yeah, you almost called him stupid, so that was
– Yeah, I stopped just short.
Just short.
But it's Braden Fisk is a guy that I had somebody tell me, you know where he could go is the Texans. I said, well, Texans will have a first-round pick. And they said, yeah, but if they did, that's the kind of guy D'Amico would love. And I said, yeah, I'd like him at 42. I mean, the Texans pick at 42, I'd like him there. Like, well, you ain't going to get him at 42.
No, you ain't getting him at 42.
So they said maybe they move up to get Braden Fisk. But he's not really, you know, he's undersized. Like, he's not – maybe he'll play at about 300 pounds, maybe. So he's not exactly, you know, a 315-pound stout against the run guy. He's more, you know, he's more of a disruptive player. But, man, he is a pain in the ass. He is constantly in the background, in the backfield. He's constantly getting penetration. He's one of those guys in disruption. He's one of those guys that came from a small school, too. Isn't it amazing in basketball and football how we view these guys differently now? That they, you know, it's one thing if here's Jared Verse, who's going to be a top 20 pick, who – you know, when he was at Albany, no one would have thought twice about him. At Florida State, he's a first-team All-American, and, you know, all of a sudden he's certified. And Braden Fisk came from, like, I don't know, Central Michigan, I think it was. And he's, you know, oh, big deal, Central Michigan. All of a sudden he's at Florida State. Oh, my gosh, this guy can't be blocked. I mean, it does line up, though, with the fact that historically we've seen players from smaller, you know, non-Power 5 teams come in and become really great, sometime Pro Bowl, sometime Hall of Fame players.
Well, speaking of which, have you seen this Bridgewater State quarterback, James Cahoon?
No. Is this Mockingdale's?
No. This is real.
No.
Division 3 Bridgewater State quarterback James Cahoon has strong interest for the Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, and Ravens. Sources tell ML Football. Scouts have described him as the most underrated quarterback in this class. He looks like he's got some arm on him.
James Cahoon. No, I don't have to look at him.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I'll share it with you.
Send it.
And I'll slip into your DMs.
Okay, that's great.
I'll slide into your DMs.
I had some weird dreams last night. I'm hitting the melatonin. A lot of people told me, you need to be hitting something harder than that in Los Angeles. You can hit whatever you want. I'm like, yeah, I'm just good with this melatonin.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get some sleep. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I don't need to get baked on the West Coast before my shows. But so I went and bought some melatonin. But it's helping. Like, I got to sleep here at like 8:15 probably.
Oh,
which,
nice. Well, that's 10:15 here.
Yeah, well, I usually don't go to bed until after 11.
Right.
Don't get to sleep until 11 there. So, yeah, so I'm actually I'm working on some good sleep now. This is going to be a great show.
So much better. Like, it's like, Astros. He doesn't have all those kids at home ruining his sleep. Right?
No. How did the Astros do yesterday?
They might as well have been a win.
It's kind of like a win, isn't it?
It's kind of like a win. Yeah.
I rewatched Alex Bregman again, his We Just Have to Execute video. And I saw it when it first came out. It was about 5 or 6 days ago, and where he's in the locker room. And his answers are so kind of – I feel like he's being a smart aleck, Alex Bregman. He's just – it feels like he might be parroting something that's being said in a locker room out of, you know, just kind of mocking it somewhat. Maybe it's something Joe Espada said. I really feel like this is just – Alex Bregman, I don't care that it's – it doesn't matter that it's a contract year for him. The fact that he knows he's a lame duck player – I mean, I almost feel like they got to get him out of there. I think Alex Bregman is just going to be – if this season doesn't turn around very, very quickly – And whether or not I need Alex Bregman to hit well just to help his trade value, but I would be calling and just making some soft phone calls to see if anyone bites hard on the line that I got out. And if somebody bites hard on it, and I like one of the prospects they talk about, I'm interested in moving Alex Bregman. I know he doesn't want to be here. He don't want to be here because the Astros don't really want him to be here. Let's just be honest about it. Jim Crane doesn't want him here beyond this year. It's not personal, of course, but you don't want him here for whatever Alex Bregman wants to get paid. And I get it. You know, both sides have already they've already figured out what they're doing. Well, at this point, we're just waiting for the alarm to go off then. This is like when you're awake and you can't go back to sleep and your alarm's going to go off at 6:30 and it's 2:30 and you're sitting there for the next 4 hours just miserable. Just miserable because you can't go back to sleep. It's the same thing. I mean, Alex Bregman's not going to be happy all year long, and I don't blame him. Blaming him or Crane.
This is Alex Bregman because this is how Alex Bregman always starts the season. And yeah. Alex Bregman looks like it. Alex Bregman feels like, man, it just sucks. And then Alex Bregman turns it on. Alex Bregman has got to turn on. Alex Bregman is not better not be walking around pouting. I hate it here. I want to get out of here. I don't want to hit here. I'm just not interested. And all of this stuff. Because Alex Bregman ain't getting paid. Alex Bregman, you're in a contract here. You better start performing.
Otherwise, you're right for
you
Alex
ain't
Bregman.
Getting close to what you think.
But
you
what if
get.
He? But what if he does do that? It's going to hurt his. It's going to hurt him potentially, right? Financially. What does it do for the Astros?
If he
pouts and doesn't perform, how does that help? What does that do for the Astros?
It doesn't do anything for the Astros. Yeah, it sucks.
It hurts him.
It hurts him. But he's hurting himself more. What is he doing? Despite his face?
But I don't care if I'm the Astros. I don't care what it does to him because I care what it does for me. Whether he hits great or bad, whatever happens to him is going to happen to him. It's not going to be my problem. Well, the only thing I care about is what it does for me if I'm the Astros. So I don't care what it does for his contract value. I care, is this going to hurt my team? If he's not performing, if he's pouting, yes, it is. I only care about what's going to happen to my team now. I don't care about what happens
for
Bregman's
contract. Well, I get it. But here's the deal is if he doesn't hit, you're not getting a bunch for him. If he does hit, yeah, then he's going to help you win. So, I mean, by the way, he's trying. All these people, Alex Bregman, but no, he cares. He cares more than he ever does. I think he's pressing, if you want to know the truth. He knows he's got to have a big year this year. He's got to hit this year so he can get that Manny Machado deal, which I never thought he was going to get the Manny Machado deal.
He's not getting the Manny Machado deal. He's not going to because there's too much history. Like with Carlos Correa having too much history of injury, there's too much history of up and down play for Alex Bregman. This constant terrible April certainly doesn't help him. But those years after the trash can stuff in 20 and 21 and half of 22, it's just that's a bad look. I just feel like Alex Bregman to me is he's just done as an Astro. And even if he starts hitting, this is not a good season right now. We'll see if people can magically get healthy and magically pitch good. Maybe Christian Javier will magically be healthy and go back to magical Christian. Maybe, you know, everything's going to be great with Jose Urquidy and he's magically going to be good again. And Hunter Brown will magically turn back into the guy that he was for just 1 month, when really the overall Hunter Brown has been much worse than that 1 month, that we keep acting like that 1 month is who he is.
Yeah.
Maybe all this stuff will just match, and Jose Abreu will magically go back into form, or John Singleton will magically start hitting. Why are we expecting all these things that don't seem likely to happen? I don't know. Maybe I am in a bad mood, actually, now that I think about it.
Well, get in a good mood and talk about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, Craig DeCerf puts me in a good mood. Craig DeCerf puts me in a good mood because, you know, most recently, my son got his first car ever, a Buick Envision. We were looking at the Encore and the Envision, and he was. But the thing that really alerted us to that was the fact that they had a great APR financing option, but more importantly, they had a great lease option. And the lease option beat the APR financing option for us because the prices of the payments were going to be about $80 less per month, which was important. I was looking for price, but also a lease deal where I could get, you know, 16,000 miles a year because he's in Tuscaloosa. So he doesn't drive around a lot when he's there, just short drives. When he comes home, he's putting the miles on. So we have very specific things we're looking for. You're going to have very specific things. It might be, hey, I want a cool-looking truck, but I also want the cargo load. I want the ability to carry around what I need to carry around for work or just, you know, just for when I go out of town. That's great. They've got that available for you, the Chevy Silverado and the GMC Sierra pickup truck. Maybe you are looking for a kick-ass SUV, the large old-school Suburbans. They've got that for you as well. Make sure that you're checking out all of the vehicles that they have online at LanceCars.com. But most importantly, they give you more for your trade-in value, and they give you all the dealer incentives they can possibly find to make sure that you are happy with your purchase. It's out in Angleton, Gulf Coast, Chevy, Buick, GMC. Make sure you tell them that Lance Zierlein sent you by.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. We can continue talking about the draft if you want. This NBA stuff. LeBron? He was a little upset with the refereeing. I don't know if you heard. Daryl Morey has sent the league notice about this officiating again. Okay? He is, what's the exact thing? What's he doing?
They're filing a grievance.
Another grievance against the league.
Well, to be fair to Daryl Morey, in 2019, it was an audit. They audited the officiating. So it's a little different.
This is Daryl's move. File a grievance. Now, not only are they filing a grievance, but the Lakers are too. Did you see LeBron chasing the referee off the court after the game? Because of that, it looked like nobody touched him.
Yeah, he immediately, if what John's referring to is a late layup by LeBron, and if you remember on the play, he's immediately reacting, asking for an and one, and he barks at the referee a couple times at the time of the play, and then after the game, he nearly follows the referee off the court and saying, hey, why didn't you call a foul? I'm asking you a question.
But what was the he had a clear lane, and he laid it up. No one touched his arm or anything.
I guess he's suggesting that on the flyby when the Nuggets slapped him on his arm.
But it didn't even affect the layup. I mean, honestly.
It did not, but I guess if you're saying I powered through, so it didn't affect it, but I was still hit. I guess that's what he's going to play.
I guess. But it seems to me.
It's LeBron and Joel Embiid. Did you see Joel Embiid with his head down like, I've never seen somebody who acts more like they're 10, 9.
Well,
he
was
7 feet tall than Joel Embiid. He had his head down. The whole thing, it's the strangest video. You've got to see the video that's on ESPN and then listen to the audio. The audio is perfect. The video, his head is down.
Yeah.
His hands in his, and it's almost like somebody has dubbed Joel Embiid's voice on there.
I know.
Like it's not even a real video.
Well, this is in the locker room afterwards. He's sitting down and he's just got his head down. And we'll find that. But first, play LeBron. Let's get LeBron. LeBron dropped some F-bombs on us now. Uh-huh. Okay. LeBron is none too pleased.
That's how you knew he was pissed.
Hey, listen, I just got a question for you. How many 20-point second-half leads did Michael ever blow? How about that, LeBron truthers? How many second-half 20-point leads did Mike ever blow?
How many seasons has LeBron missed for gambling problems?
Not enough.
What do you mean, not enough?
Listen, that's how I would have gone about it, too, if I was Mike. Let's throw something on this.
Okay, how many base hits has LeBron ever had in the minor leagues?
Yeah.
You're looking at it negatively, Dell.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. How many hits with Birmingham did LeBron ever have? None. Boop, boop, boop.
That's because he didn't get suspended from a ghost suspension from his league because of gambling issues.
Well, so? And? And what's your point on this one?
Since we're asking how many times someone has done something or not done something, I'm just asking you a question.
I feel almost 100% sure that was a suspension now.
Oh, probably.
Here's the problem. Like, how in the world could everyone keep that quiet? That must have been David Stern pulling his most gangster-ass stuff that he's ever done and telling nobody and just going straight to David Falk and Michael Jordan and say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, probably, and that's fine.
Because the reason that I've always felt like,
why are you going to kill the golden goose?
That's fine. But I've always felt like, come on now, how could you keep that a secret? Michael Jordan suspended for, and frankly, it is impossible to keep that a secret unless it was just a 1+1+1. Jordan, his agent, because they don't want it getting out, obviously, so they're not telling anybody. Like that, it seems implausible that would be a secret all these years and it would never get out. But except for the fact that David Stern was like borderline mafia in some of the ways that he moved and operated. That's why I feel like I'm not a conspiracy theory at all a conspiracy theorist, 0%. But the whole frozen envelope thing, I could see Stern doing that.
And I could see Jordan being suspended, too. And the frozen envelope, absolutely. David Stern had to do something. David Stern is really the guy who saved the NBA. David Stern took the bull by the horns. And you know what? Even if it was scandalous with the frozen, he needed the league to have Patrick Ewing in New York. He needed that. And he needed to save Michael's reputation for Michael to come back. He needed all of those things. Here's LeBron, who's going to need to lose some money after the league suspends him league fines him for this.
I mean, yeah, of course it's a heartbreaking game. You don't ever want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year, whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. We have a replay center. It's going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that, like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Nick game too. What are we doing?
What was egregious in the Sixers Knicks game?
Well, he's taking issue. Well, I guess a lot of Sixer fans are taking issue with Nick Nurse not getting a timeout.
Well, that's Nick Nurse. That's not the referee.
And if you look at that play, and of course everyone's broken it down depending on what side you land on. Nick Nurse faints like he's going to call a timeout. He doesn't put his hands together on the initial inbound, and then because he's not sure he's going to get the ball in, so he doesn't actually call the timeout, at least in some people's eyes. And then when Tyrese Maxey's on the ground, right before the ball is completely loose, you see Nick Nurse call for a timeout, but then you're expecting the officials who are looking at the play to look at you and see that you're calling a timeout at the same time while there's chaos going on the floor. So he does do the timeout signal, but at that point, the officials are staring at the play and don't look and see him, so I can't blame the officials for that either.
No, I mean, they're trying to watch the play. If you wanted to call a timeout, call a timeout.
Yeah, come on, we got to see. But I don't know, man. I agree with that. I agree with all that. But I feel like at some point, it's got to be easy for referees to call timeouts because you always have a sideline ref where a coach can run to the sideline ref and right there, there's somebody right there by the sideline.
But he doesn't run to the ref. He stands stationary and puts his arms together and then looks to the ref and expects him to see him. Look.
Yeah, but you got somebody right by you.
But they're not. I don't think they're trained to look at him while that play's going on.
They're not. That's why I have a problem with this, Dale. They should be able to hit a button.
Or run.
You should be able to just hit a button like, no whammies, and stop.
You know what some coaches do? They run their ass on the floor so they're seen. And
that's illegal,
what he could have done.
And he could have got a technical.
Well, we'll see. But if he's calling timeout, I think Nick Nurse is playing the result. He wasn't sure he wanted a timeout initially, and then when the chaos occurred, then he wanted a timeout. But at that point, it's too late.
Oh, you thought he was trying to be slick with it.
Yeah, he's, oh, I tried, but you weren't aggressive initially. He was like, timeout. Yeah. And then he didn't get the timeout because he thought
you don't blame the refs that you can't get a timeout. It's a timeout. Get a timeout. You can get a timeout.
There are ways, and I don't think he was aggressive enough in trying to get the timeout. So if he had been demonstrative, I might agree with him. But he was like, timeout, and then he didn't get it. And now, hey, how about you get a defensive rebound? How about that?
Yeah, it's one thing.
How about Isaiah Hartenstein, hero? Okay, where did he grow up? Where did he learn his trade? Right here.
Lance, you know Isaiah Hartenstein.
Right here.
It was realized.
Yeah.
You might have called Isaiah Hartenstein crispy milk at one point. It turns out. He's not crispy milk. His dad's black.
Yeah, you know
I
that.
I know.
Yeah, we know
so
that.
We would have called him crispy milk at one point.
No, but, crispy milk is your boy Tyler Hero. That's crispy
Dante
milk.
Dante DiVincenzo's crispy milk.
Well, there's two crispy milk.
Hey, what are we doing?
I think at first look.
DiVincenzo has crispy milk.
At first look, Isaiah is crispy milk, but it turns out he's not. Dante, clearly crispy milk.
Yeah. No, Isaiah Hartenstein's dad's black. We talked about that. Although people said he said he's bright skin,
yes,
and people
not light.
Were like,
right.
You're not black. And then remember, Twitter had to have the whole fight about the one drop scenario, and we got to get it done. We should be able to just do the eyeball test. And I'm like, I'm out of this conversation.
Now Isaiah Hartenstein,
this one, we're gonna eyeball the purity of people.
Listen,
like,
we get to claim Isaiah Hartenstein.
Who's we? He's not Italian.
No, you know, whitey.
Why? You don't get to claim him.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Yeah. See, this is like,
I mean,
as a
honestly,
German, I feel like somebody with a German last name, I feel like I need to be out on these purity tests that you guys
If he robs a bank, we're going to say, okay, white guy just robbed a bank. Okay. That's what
they will do
say.
That for Hartenstein. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
honestly,
true.
Ain't nobody
robbed
saying,
a bank test. You mean the collie, the old school collie rob a bank
right,
test?
Right. Right. If you rob a bank,
you want to claim him today?
No, but people, we have many more. I have biracial kids, but my kids would all be, they'd all say a bunch of white kids robbed a bank.
Yeah.
More likely. For sure, Sebastian, Mahdi, Mason, they might say, I don't know, maybe he's Middle East. We can't really tell. But with Hartenstein, they'd say a white guy robbed a bank.
Oh, absolutely.
For sure. With Tiger, nowadays, I think now that we're past 97 and 98 and there's more biracial kids and everything, I feel like if we did the rob a bank test that Collie brought up when he made the point that Tiger's black, when we tried to, you know, even though his mom is 100% Asian, I feel like Tiger Woods, somebody would say, I think Tiger Woods, the would be different. I think we're more in tune with biracial kids now.
I
don't know why we're having this conversation, but I feel like it's
we were talking
important
about
for me to
Isaiah
have it
Hartenstein.
Honestly and seriously.
I think at this point, Tiger wouldn't be even defined by race. Oh, that washed guy is robbing a bank.
You don't say that washed guy.
That cooked guy is robbing a bank.
Say that about what if they said what would Clay Thompson be?
All same I want to know.
Say the
now,
same
see,
thing.
Clay is another one.
Same
I think
washed
we get him
shooter?
In the racial
no,
draft.
If your father is black and a noted NBA player, you don't get him, John.
No.
Clay
in the racial draft.
His dad is Michael Thompson. You don't get him. Stop it.
That's true.
That's true. HRP, they're going to get me for this conversation, I'm pretty sure. That's what happens. I was out there at their site last Friday. I got to tell you, it is spectacular. The technology is second to none. When you see the upstairs, and they can take you on a tour and show you what it's all about. It's about the people, though. It's about Mike or Chad or Kevin or Chris or Mike Holly, all of those guys. They are going to make sure that you get the best deal for whatever it is that you need. Now, everybody's needs are different, so they're going to customize a plan for you. They don't come in there and say, well, this is how much it costs. Here's a breakdown of our costs. That's not the way they do it. They're going to look at your business and figure out which is the best way, how to go about this thing for you, HR-wise and payroll-wise. And then on the benefits packages, then they're going to give you options for those because they're not in the benefits packages business. They're in the payroll and HR business. And this is where you save money. You're going to save because they're not going to gouge you like these other admin companies. They're not gouging you on your insurance or your 401k. Because that's what these admin companies do. They come in saying, oh, look how much cheaper our payroll is. But then they get you on the other side. Don't fall for it. Go with HRP. And I'm telling you, you will save money. If you're trying to do it yourself, nah. If you're with an admin company, nah. All you need is HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm looking at a video of... Have you guys seen Sean Payton doing a bong? Have you seen this video?
I have not seen
What's that?
Sean Payton smoking a bong. Have you seen that video?
Does he have the gas mask on?
No, he's just got a regular bong and...
I'm charging my computer right now. My computer I left overnight. It's all, and I've only got two plugs here that for me to set up my recording stuff. So I haven't seen. Is this new? Did it just pop?
It's no. I don't know. I think it's old.
But actually, no. It is old. I have seen it. I have seen it before. Yeah, I have seen it before. Is it a bong or?
It says Sean Payton after 2 weeks with Zach Wilson as the Broncos quarterback.
I mean, so what they've basically done, but here's what I heard. I talked to a team that said they're trying to trade back with them. They've already made a call about trading back. So the idea of Sean Payton, now that doesn't mean that you're not also trying to trade up, but I don't think. You don't have a second-round pick. Here's what I would not expect to happen. I don't think the Raiders can trade up for Antonio. We talked about it in the first segment. If you're looking for the Raiders to be active and moving up and getting Jaden Daniels because that's where Jaden wants to play. He wants to play for Antonio Pierce. I can't see a scenario where Washington's or New England's okay going all the way back to 13.
No.
Maybe 11, but that's only because they have two first-round picks this year. Maybe 11 because, you know, the New England still needs a tackle badly, and frankly, so does Washington. So I could see them both, you know, maybe being interested in swapping but man, to pass on a quarterback when you need quarterback – and you saw what happened with C.J. Stroud last year. I think teams would be too gun-shy. I think Washington would be too gun-shy to do it. As far as because they've got a new owner, too, and you see how quickly things turn around if you get your hands on a C.J. Stroud. We did I had the research department take a look at third, fourth, and fifth quarterbacks drafted in a draft. It ain't great. It's not great. Once you get to, especially fourth and fifth, you know, the idea of whoever the fourth quarterback or the fifth quarterback, which would be Penix or Nix, becoming a really good NFL quarterback, the odds are low historically. So keep that in mind when you hear people talking about five and six quarterbacks in the first round. I mean, we've got years of busts of guys who did not pan out, pick three, four, five.
If two of these quarterbacks in this draft turn out to be...
Historically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. That's it. Listen, but here's the... It is more than likely it's the Vikings and the Raiders that are going to be shut out on this quarterback deal.
Vikings and Raiders?
Yeah, because the Giants are not going to pass on them. The Giants,
Giants if they want to.
The Giants
six.
Are in a great position.
Yeah, and if position. Anything, Vikings... offer you two firsts, and what that does, it offers you more ammunition against the Giants. So all you can say is, well, I've got this offer from the Vikings, and it just forces the Giants to – you can use the Giants as, or the Vikings as leverage if you're maybe Washington. Like, I could see Washington going 2-6, but he's not going to want to play with – you know, Jaden Daniels, supposedly he didn't want to play with New England. This is what I've heard. Apparently, he doesn't want to play with New England, and he doesn't want to play with Washington. He wants to play with the Raiders or the Vikings. So the Vikings could potentially move up. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Vikings can move up there. And I tell you who's going to sting. Everyone who's bet Jaden Daniels is the second pick. It could sting a little bit if he becomes the third pick. I looked at those odds, and they're still – Drake Mays gained some steam with at number two. I do see some that are probably winners on the board if I had to guess, but I don't know them for sure. Like,
man,
I feel like
you're Washington. Like you take Drake May there?
No, I don't. But you know, there are some people who really like Drake. I can tell you that in a conversation I had with the team that looked at four of these quarterbacks, they didn't look at Caleb. Like, they didn't bring Caleb in. No one's bringing Caleb in. And Bo Nix was not. They spent time with him at Pro Day, but they didn't bring him in. The conversation I had was, these guys, and the guy specifically said, man, I've heard some negative stuff about some of these quarterbacks in their interviews. We thought they were all great. He said, this is not a cop-out, Lance. He said, I thought all four of them were really terrific. They were good to talk to. I didn't get a negative vibe off of all of them. He said, you know, Penix is more quiet. I said, who had the most juice in the room? He said, Drake May. Drake May has the most juice in the room. He said, but they were all intelligent. They all knew ball. He said, I didn't have a problem with any one of them. I said, I heard that, you know, I said, I'd heard that J.J. McCarthy's kind of not a meathead. He was described to me as a meathead. I said, he's kind of like bro-y a little bit. He goes, no, he's more of a jock. I said, okay. Yeah, because we all know what that means, you know, kind of a jock. He's just about ball and, like,
that's
okay.
All right. I don't mind.
Yeah,
that.
No, I had no problem. And I said, yeah, that's not a negative thing. He goes, I don't think it's a negative thing that your quarterback is a jock. He said, as long as he's smart and a good leader and people like him. And I'd rather have an extrovert than an introvert at quarterback. And I said, oh, are you eliminating Michael Penix? He goes, not at all, because that guy's got a big arm. And so I do think that I think Drake May is still in play, because when it really comes down to it, here's the problem. J.J. McCarthy has 2 years under his belt. And if you look historically, like, for example, Trey Lance, now I don't think this is a great argument, but we made this argument yesterday on NFL Network. You look at Trey Lance. Why did Trey Lance fail and Brock Purdy succeed? Well, Trey Lance, there's some extenuating circumstances, and I got a little more intel on that when me and my friend Bobby Sloak were talking on the way to the combine. But Trey Lance only had one year of college football. That's it. He just had 1 year as a starter. Dwayne Haskins, 1 year as a starter, failed. Mitchell Trubisky, 1 year as a full-time starter. Like, there's a history of this happening. Brock Purdy, while his last 2 years weren't very good, his sophomore year was really terrific, but he was a four-year starter. And he'd gone through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got with a really good system and a situation. He got his confidence back. You look at Bo Nix, 5 years, went through adversity and played well at the very end of it with Oregon. Michael Penix, adversity of 4 years of season-ending injuries, 2 years of full health and playing well at Washington. Jaden Daniels, 4 years at Arizona State. I mean, the adversity he had was he wasn't with some very good, you know, some of the teams weren't very good and he got beat up a little bit. But he went to LSU and really he's a six-year starter, isn't he? No, he's three. He's three at Arizona State, two at LSU. So you have – these guys have been through the – they've been through the muck. Like, they've had adversity, different types of adversity, those three guys, and they've come out the other side. So they're not new to adversity. What adversity has J.J. – I would argue Drake May has had some adversity because this year was a little tougher. What adversity has J.J. McCarthy gone through? Has he gone through anything really tough? Like, what adversity had Zach Wilson?
Well, he had to
through?
Beat out. Who was the guy that had to transfer? I mean, he had to beat him out to get that job at the beginning of his
career. I guess that's the most adversity was competition.
Well,
but it wasn't. He didn't lose like in a regular. When was he losing in a regular season?
Well, he lost in the postseason last year.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's not really adversity. Like, where was his severe injury that he had to make it back from injury? Where did he have to make it back from bad play? Where did he have an offensive line that was bad and he was running for his life? Where did he have severe disadvantages at wide receiver or no running game? He had none of that stuff.
Yeah,
he didn't have to deal with any of that.
I don't know.
No, I mean, seriously, find the adversity for him.
I don't know.
Dell, do you think he had any adversity as a guy with a former?
But your point is, if he has adversity, then he's got a chance to be. He could be great without that.
No, I think the point is that you just don't know. And variables,
you don't know.
They don't like variables. And he's a guy who it felt like it was on a silver platter. Not that he didn't work hard, but Michigan was a dominant run game defense, and offensive line. That is the recipe to win and make it easy on your quarterback, and he had that. It won't be easy wherever he lines up. So I get it, but it doesn't preclude him from being great. It just means that
he had adversity losing to TCU.
Well,
but that's not adversity when the season ends.
That's just your
ends.
Defense falling apart. He played fine.
Yeah.
It wasn't on. No one's blaming him for that. But I get the point. It doesn't mean that he can't be great. It just means that it's a variable that they don't have an answer to.
You hit it. You hit it exactly right. It's the unknown. But let me ask you this. I had this ask me, and it's a pretty good question. When's the last time would you consider in college, and I don't think any of us would not say this is true, over 2 years has he been a game manager? I'd say yes, right? They're a heavy running team with a great defense. They play from in front. He's been a game manager, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with being a game manager. When's the last time a game manager, who's the last guy that you can remember who was labeled a game manager in college, became a playmaker or a guy who can put a team on his back in the pros? Now, you don't have to be that to be a great quarterback in the NFL. You really don't. But who's the last one you can remember? I mean, I keep going back to Tom Brady. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time thinking of a guy who elevated his game from where he was thought to be a game manager to something that is a top three or four pick. I can't think of, like, does one come to you guys' mind? Eli was both in pro and college. He was never not a game manager.
It just speaks to the level that Jim Harbaugh built that team that – he didn't have to do what other quarterbacks had to do. Even you could probably say, like at Alabama at times, they could have done that, but Nick Saban said, I have these great quarterbacks. I'm going to put it on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh never did that with JJ. He never put games on his shoulders because he didn't have to.
No, he's old school.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
I can't either. It was because Joe Burrow, you know, people want to, you could try it, but when you watch the games, that dude was making plays all over the place.
Yeah,
made it with his arms. Like, you know, so it's not Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was a high yield player. I can't think of the last time that somebody went in the top five who was a game manager who took it to the next level. Like, you know, in summer, no, not CJ Stroud, not, although I would argue CJ Stroud is doing more actually in the pros so far than he did in college in terms of what he's
well. There's another guy. Where's the adversity from CJ Stroud? Just losing to Michigan?
Well, his dad going to prison. That's a lot of personal adversity.
Well, I don't know JJ McCarthy's personal. I don't have any idea.
No,
746.
He's good.
We
got
a break.
746
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. I'm talking about Billy Brown. I'm talking about your plumbing needs, whatever it is that you have to have. And they have everything, okay? You want to repipe? They can do that. They've got a one-day repipe, but listen, sometimes they can't guarantee that your repipe is going to be one day. If you have any leak detection, if you've got cameras, you want camera inspection of your pipes, plumbing fixtures, whatever it is, water heaters, tankless water heaters, you got to clean them out if you haven't. Water filters, drain cleaning, circulating pumps, hydrostatic testing, reroutes, gas piping. If you're putting in a gas grill, you need a plumber. You got that at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Any new construction, any remodel, you need plumbing, you need pipes. If you haven't if you've got an older house and you have old pipes, Aqueduct Plumbing is here for you. Look, we're probably through the freeze, right? It's going to get warm, and now it's going to be really, really hot. It's okay. You may want to do this now before you get to winter again. Call Aqueduct Plumbing, and make sure you got that phone number, 281-488-6238, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com. But make sure you have it in your phone in case of an emergency, 281-488-6238.
ESPN 97.5.
Bang.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. We got calls in here. You guys want to get in? All right, so let's do it. 713-780-37. David wants
to go. Let's go. I got you. Yeah, I got anything draft-related you want. I got a lot of intel this week. Or NBA playoffs, I'm kind of specializing in that. And LPGA golf has become kind of a specialty of mine after I sat next to an LPGA U.S. Open winner, frankly.
ruined her flight.
Yeah, man, that's just embarrassing.
No, she learned a little bit about
Bobby Slowick, Minji Lee, Eric Roberts. They're all
I kind of had to hide from.
Well, what we found out, dude. Lance, lack of riz for Lance.
Yeah, let's.
No, I'm not trying to riz somebody who could be my daughter.
Yeah. I'm not. Well, some people have natural charisma.
I got a wife. I don't need a Riz Minji Lee, who's frankly not played very well for the last couple years.
Oh, now you're insulting
her.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You won't I be prefer to Riz.
Don't be around
my
that.
Riz is reserved for winners.
Your Riz was leaking all over.
No.
A lack of Riz.
I prefer LPGA stars who win.
There was a drip. There was no Riz.
A lack of drip is the problem. Drip.
Let's get David. He wants to talk about NBA officiating. Hey, David.
Yep. Hey, man. How you going? I was listening to you guys a little while back, and you guys started talking about the Nick Nurse, whether he called time or not. I don't think that's what LeBron was talking about, because I know that's not what was on my mind. When I watched the end of the game, like always, if it's in Madison Square Garden, or a team that's being aggressive, they tend to allow the team to be aggressive, and they were fouling. They were fouling, and it was no call, similar to the same thing they did when Monty Williams complained about a play. I mean, you got to call. I know it's cool to be aggressive and all that stuff, but you got to call fouls in crucial moments. There were times where Embiid, and I know his mobility was messed up, where he had the rebound, and Harden Steele was just diving over his back, slapping his arms. And they go, oh, he's being aggressive. Oh, what energy? No, he's fouling. And that's what I think LeBron was talking about, not Nick Nurse. All right, I'll listen.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think that is probably what he was talking about. But the problem. Well, so here's the problem that I think David is mentioning, that they have a little bit of a problem with this. I think the NBA players, and maybe a point. There seems to be a level of inconsistency with. And remember, the Rockets had the call that went in their favor, that shouldn't have gone in their favor. There is an inconsistency with how games are called. Are you going to let them play, or are you going to call the fouls late?
So there was, and listen, on that inbounds play, there was a lot of jersey grabbing.
There's always a lot of jersey grabbing.
There were, slaps to the arms. There was a lot of stuff going on. You could have gotten a whistle there.
You could have got a whistle there, and then when you watch as Philly was trying to make the comeback, because Knicks fans, of course, will respond because they're not going to take it, you watch Philly doubling the guy trying to get the inbounds pass, and they're grabbing him. Inbounds passes, for whatever reason, are pretty much fair game. You get grabbed. You have to fight through it. It's been the case for years. Now, in that situation, you get upset because it leads to a game-winning jumper. But hey, let's not talk about Tyrese Maxey fumbling the ball out of bounds on the previous possession when you had the lead and he fumbled the ball out of bounds. So a turnover happened, and I get it. The officials piss us off, but the Sixers played a part. Get a defensive rebound. Don't turn the ball over. Not even talking about that possession, but a earlier possession where he just dropped the ball out of bounds. So yeah. It was rough, but I don't know if LeBron was talking about the physicality. He probably was talking about the thing that everyone was focused
on. It's playoff basketball. You want to whistle every...
I understand. It could affect
now,
the game.
It was in New York. New York got the calls. I get it. Daryl, grievance. Well, audit.
Yeah, they filed a grievance. Yeah. Well, Daryl is king of grievances now.
It filtered through the entire organization. Nick Nurse was complaining. Joel Embiid was not even the sound you referenced, but he referenced how, forget about the timeouts. I was calling timeout. The coach was calling timeout, but there are so many fouls. It's unacceptable. So it's the Sixers are supremely focused on the referees.
Man, you guys get fouled a lot. Do you think Daryl ever goes in there and just plants seeds like, I've never seen a team more fouled than we are? We're the most. Don't you guys think so? We're the most fouled team.
He has a giant foul baiter on his roster.
Oh my God!
Embiid baits calls the entire season in the playoffs. I don't think anyone has real sympathy for Joel Embiid after watching him flop his way into calls for an entire
season. Whole career.
Well, that too.
His whole career, he's been like that, and he's a fusser. James knew how to. Well, James is the same way. James could foul his way. He didn't talk as much about it after games, but on the court, oh, James would let you know if he didn't get a foul. And James would literally drop the ball and flail his arms in the air trying to force you to make calls if he wasn't going to be able to, you know, finish at the rim. The Daryl plus a foul baiting player is one of the great combinations in NBA history. Because if he doesn't get him, We are going to the league. I am going to tell.
Oh, no. No question. David wants to talk NFL draft. What do you say, David?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Is there a real difference between sort of Renardo Green in draft circles and in sort of what is presented on mock draft? Because it seems, based on Lance, your rankings and sort of Daniel Jeremiah's feedback, that there's a real utility for him and use case as an outside cornerback and sort of what he was able to accomplish at Florida State. And I'm trying to sort of square that with not seeing him ever mocked anywhere or talk about being drafted anywhere higher than third round. And so, like, trying to make sense of him and Chris Abrams' drain and whether or not there's a potential, argument to be made for the Texans drafting Renardo Green potentially at the end of the second round with the second pick or higher than sort of the middle of the third.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good call. That's a good draft. See, that's a good just hardcore draft call right there. So Renardo Green is a cornerback that I think Texans fans need to know. Here's why. He's a very competitive cornerback. He has rare change of direction ability. His game against Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas was terrific. I mean, really, really good. But they didn't push him all the way down the field. And the question on him is his long speed. Like, how would he handle? He's about a 4. You know, he's really basically a 4-5 corner. He ran a little below that, but he's a 4-5 corner, which is fine. But he's the kind of tough player that I don't know if he can play inside at nickel. If he can, I think he's got the ability to be a late second round pick. Now, I don't think he goes after the third. I talked to a DB coach who loves him as well and thinks he is probably second round talent. That's what my grade is on him. I think he gets drafted sometime in the third. Chris Abrams straight. But I do think it's a guy that Texans fans, because he's kind of a ball hawk and he's got some physicality to him. Decent size, not great, but decent size. I think Texans fans should keep an eye on him. Renardo Green from Florida State. As far as Chris Abrams drain, he is actually a more complete cornerback than Ennis Rakestraw, who is the guy that's mentioned a lot. He's going to go in the second round. I don't think he's going in the first. So Ennis Rakestraw, I think, will go in the second from Missouri. His teammate, Chris Abrams drain. I watched them both against LSU as well, because that's the test. You know, you got to see how you do against LSU if you can play. And he's a really smooth, mirror and match cornerback. He's got clean hips, good feet. He is more consistent in coverage, but he's in the low 170s. So the problem with him is he is super light. So as good as he is as a player, I mean, he's a solid player, but he's really light. And most teams I talk to, some teams aren't as high on him, think he's more of a backup, a good quality backup, a fourth corner. So I think he probably goes in the early fourth round. He is a guy the Texans could look at, but I just don't think D'Amico Ryan's going to spend a lot of time with 170-pound corners. No. It's a weird year that there's some Nate Wiggins, too, I think is going to fall out of the first round. These skinny 170-pound cornerbacks, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that can win in the NFL. And we don't – it's an outlier. And I'm not sure teams after Emmanuel Forbes, who weighed – 166.
Yeah.
But he had like 9 interception return for touchdowns. He had crazy ball production. He got beat up this year.
All right. We got to break it here, Lance. Let's we got more questions if you want any. 713-780-3776. The number if you want to get in here. You need to talk about QC Kinetics.
Yeah, I'll talk about QC Kinetics because joint pain is no joke. If you've got chronic pain in your knee, your hip, your back, your shoulder, your ankle, I don't care what the joint is, it's debilitating. I mean, you're thinking about it all the time. It's on your mind all the time. Is there anything worse than having a knee or a hip that, because of the way you sleep or your bed or whatever the case, you wake up in the middle of the night and it's killing you and it hurts? And so it's affecting your sleep. It's affecting your ability to go outside and have fun, to do the things you like doing, running, jogging, golf, tennis, pickleball. I don't care. Basketball. Pick up basketball. your games where you play your softball. Maybe you had a men's league and you just it just hurts to play. Wouldn't you love to get that back? But it can be done with regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is the answer. It's not temporary steroid shots or Aleve or your surgery that's going to have all that downtime and really limit your mobility. We're talking about a chance for you to regenerate and restore damaged tissue or lost tissue so that your joint gets back to normal. The inflammation recedes, and you have an opportunity to not have that inflammation and to not have the pain, the chronic pain you're dealing with, and your mobility is there and your ability to enjoy your life is there. Make sure your mobility comes back, your pain goes down, and you're living a life you want to live. With my good friends over at QC Kinetics, they really do work. 4 locations in the Houston area. Set up your consultation at QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I can't believe tax season is here.